There are certain words that the Bible uses that are critical for us as Christians to understand. Words like justification, which means to make righteous, or sanctification, which means to make holy, or even something as simple as holy, which means to be set apart. If we misunderstand what these critical words mean, we're going to misunderstand what it means to be a Christian. And one of those words comes in our epistle reading for today, the word propitiation. Now, I know that I talked about this briefly on Christmas Eve, but it is worth talking about it more, because understanding what propitiation means will help us to understand what God has done for us. And above all, it will help us to understand why God gave us Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. So what does the word mean then, propitiation? Well, simply put, propitiation is something that you give to someone else so that they will no longer be angry. It's like a gift that you give to someone when they're upset, or a present which you give to someone that you've offended. In its most basic sense, that's what propitiation means. But of course, we do have to be careful here, because the way that the world uses this word is different from the way that the Bible uses this word. Because pagans use the word propitiation to describe their sacrifices to their gods. They would give something, a sacrifice, especially when some disaster had come upon them, so that their gods would no longer be angry. But propitiation in the Bible is not about what we do. It's not about what we give to God. We are not able to give him anything because of our sins. Because as Paul says in our reading, Christians, God is rightly angry with us because of those sins. He says in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin is more than just failing to do what God wants us to do, although it's certainly that too. Sin is a disruption of what should be. Sin is a breakdown, a destruction of what God originally created for good. Because God in himself is good and righteous and holy, and he originally created us to also be good and righteous and holy. But sin disrupted that. It broke the relationship that we had with God. And in the process, sin turned what God had meant for good into something evil. So sin is also an attack on God himself. Sin is going against and attacking the very nature of God. Because we can understand this when we consider what God also says about judgment. For example, when he's talking about the judgment that he's threatening in Leviticus chapter 26, he says, "I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute vengeance for the covenant." Of course, you only seek vengeance when there's been some kind of hurt or some kind of destruction, like avenging a theft or avenging a murder. So for God to avenge his covenant shows that sin has attacked it. It has broken what God has given for good and turned it into something else instead. That's the great problem with sin. So God, therefore, has to do something about sin. He can't just sit around and do nothing. He cannot leave it unpunished. And we can, at least in some sense, understand that. If we see something evil happening in the world, we want something to be done about it. We would say that it's wrong for nothing to be done. If a thief stole something and didn't go to jail, we'd say that's wrong. Or if a murderer got off scot-free and went out free as a bird, we would say that that's not right. We recognize that something needs to be done. And in a much greater way, God has to do something about sin. He has to set right what has gone wrong. And that's what we mean by his wrath. Wrath is not a feeling, but an action. God pours out his wrath upon the world when he brings justice. God acts to make things right again. Because if he didn't do it, he wouldn't be just. And if he's not just, then he would not be God. So God has to do something about sin because he is good. But when God brings justice, he does it by giving back what has been done. We see this in several places. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 19, where it says, "Your eyes shall not pity. It shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." And if that can't be done, then justice is brought by giving something more. If a thief steals a sheep, he gives back two. If he killed the sheep, then he gives four. So God sets things right by giving like for like, doing to them what they have done to others. And Christians, this is why God condemns us to death, because of our sins. Because only death can make things right again. Because how could it be anything less than that, Christians? How could anything less than that judgment restore what our sin has broken? Are we simply going to say sorry to God? Would that be good enough? Would that fix what sin has destroyed? Well, if a thief, for example, stole something, said that they were sorry, but then didn't give it back, would that be right? Of course not. The problem is still there. Words alone cannot fix what sin has broken. Are we going to give God money to buy our way out of our judgment? But how would that fix anything either? If I murdered somebody and then offered the family money to say, make it all right, would that be right? Of course not. The problem is still there. Money cannot fix what sin has destroyed. And besides, the money belongs to God anyway. We can't buy him off with what is his. Am I going to offer a sacrifice? It depends on what I mean. If by sacrifice I mean I offer something up to God, something or even someone, that's not going to be good enough either. Because of my sin, I can't do that perfectly. I would sin in the very act of sacrificing for a sin. Sin would be added to sin even as I tried to fix it. And if I was going to sacrifice someone else, even sacrifice another human being for my sin, that wouldn't be good enough either, because they have their own sins to take care of. They are guilty for their own reasons. It'd be like trying to fix something broken with something else that is broken. One sinner cannot pay for the sins of another. So Christians, God rightly condemns us to death because of our sins. Nothing less than that will fix what has been broken. But God did not leave us in our sin. God did for us what we could not do. Because he has not only taken care of the problem of sin, but he has shown us mercy at the same time. Because God has given us Jesus, as Paul says in verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. God himself put forward his own son, Jesus Christ, He didn't wait for us to act. He wasn't sitting around doing nothing until we felt the need to come to him. But he offered up in Jesus a perfect sacrifice for us so that we would be made right in his sight. Jesus became our propitiation. Jesus was sacrificed for us. And God's justice has been done. Things have been made right. Nothing more is needed. No more debt left to pay. No more sacrifices that need to be done. What our sin broke, God has restored in Jesus. We have been brought back to the Lord through him. And all of this happened, as Paul says, by the blood of Jesus. Because blood shows that a death has occurred. Blood shows that a life has been given for a life. The exchange has been made. And not only through his obedience and righteousness, but also through his suffering and death, Jesus took our place. He has given his life instead of us. He died so that we would not. Our punishment became his. And God is no longer angry with those who have faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. That's why the word propitiation is so important, Christians. This one word describes what God has done for us. The Father gave his only Son so that all who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And as John says in 1 John chapter 4, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Thanks be to God for forgiving us our sins and bringing us back to himself through our propitiation, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who put forward your Son to be a propitiation by his blood, forgive us our sins for his sake so that we may be righteous in your sight. In his name we pray. Amen.